What would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generation legacy of abundance. This episode is number 81, and what we're going to talk about is the six levels of government. And a lot of people, when they think about levels of government, they think about federal, state, and local government. That's not what we're talking about. Or they think about the types of government, such as democracy or republic or communism, autocracy, oligarchy, theocracy, or fascism. We're going to talk about those in another podcast. But that's not the topic of today's show. Actually, what we're going to talk about today is six different kinds of governments, or six different types of levels of governance in our lives. And more particularly, what we're going to look at is how civil governments, which is the last of the categories, is actually trying to usurp the authority of the other governments. And we're going to look at how that works on a day-to-day basis. And so it should be a good show for you. Help us kind of get things into perspective of where they should be. And, of course, with all the politics and what's going on now with all of that and elections coming up, it's a good way to kind of refresh ourselves as to the kind of governance that we are to have in our lives and why and how. So this should be a good show. Before we do that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, I am still requesting some action from you all to send me some questions that you might have about building a legacy and ways in which I can answer those so that I can then get back to you about them and also take your question and the response that I give and put it up somewhere on the website. I'm looking to have kind of a question answer time, question answer place. I'm not sure where I'm going to put that yet or how I'm going to include it in. But if you have questions, please email me at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. with your question, and I'll be able to get back with you on that. Second of all is our affiliate focus for today is Vision Forum. And the reason I like Vision Forum, I mentioned this before, but Vision Forum is a great resource for families that are wanting to raise godly children, disciple their children, homeschool, a lot of things that we talk about here with building a legacy. And they've got discounts over there right now for the fall, and great place to go to get new books, to get some excellent audio material, even to get some toys for the kids. And so check out Vision Forum in the center right column along with all the other affiliates. I do want to say that if you are purchasing something from Vision Forum, to go through my website. That way I'm able to get a commission on what is sold there. If you go and check things out on my website, but then later go back to another website and purchase it, of course I don't get credit for it. So I encourage you to do that. That helps support the show. And then also I want to encourage you to make sure that you're telling your friends and family using all the various social media, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. And then finally, if you like the show, I want to encourage you to become a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner program is $30 a year. With that, you have access to exclusive members-only page, and that entitles you to download some material for gardenings. There's an ebook on there. There's some other information on finances and some discounts to some vendors. And all total over $50 worth of value, plus you're able to support the show by doing that at less than 25 cents an episode. So I encourage you to check out the Legacy Partner Program. You can do that. And then also register as a user of the website. This enables you to get updates of when things happen as they happen on the website, so you don't have to keep checking back, although I encourage you to do that as well. Well, that takes care of the introductory material for today, so let's go ahead and get into the content of the show. And the first thing I want to make mention of is that all governments and all government authority and all governance is first with God. God is the creator of government. He is the creator of governance, and he is the creator of all authority. All others fall under this government, and government starts with God, and all others are subordinate to it. And unfortunately, in our culture, the aspect of God being the ultimate authority has been displaced by man being the ultimate authority and civil governments being the ultimate authority. And so that's the first place that we need to start, is understanding that God is the ultimate authority. Now, I'm not talking about his governance, although certainly he is supreme and he has dominion over the entire universe. And so anything that is under that or all things are under that. And so all the other governments we're going to talk about fall under that. So what are the levels of government? And the first one is self-government. Self-government. Now, this is the most important of all governments. And we, as a free people and as people under God, have the right and the responsibility to govern ourselves. We have the responsibility to be able to make our own judgments before God and to be able to stand before Him with our own authority. And so, of course, this involves some self-control, some self-restraint, personal convictions. All of these would be ways in which self-government is exercised. Here's just an example. When you limit the amount of food that you consume at any given meal, you're practicing self-government. You're limiting yourself. You're restricting yourself based upon wise and prudent practice. One saying that my kids hear me say regularly is that if you don't discipline yourself, then someone else is going to discipline you. In essence, I'm saying that you must be self-governing or they'll fall under the government of someone else. And this is by God's design. He wants us first to be self-governing. And people that are self-governed need no other government. The founding documents talk about how the freedoms that we have in this land and the lack of restrictions that are placed upon us by the government will only work for a people who are self-governed. And so this is the first and highest of government authority, and that is ourself. And when we submit ourselves to God and to His authority and follow His ways and exercise ourselves in prudence and in self-control, we are then able to exercise a measure of self-government. The second form of government, or the second type of government, is family government. These are the rules that we have in our home. It's the head of household being able to establish certain practices and certain rules. When parents put certain restrictions upon their children, they are in essence exercising some kind of family government. The role of the family is to provide for the family. The role of the and so providing an environment where there is safety and where there is production and where there is security, all these things is the role of the family. And parents have the jurisdiction or authority over the family. Now, some have included education authority. In fact, Rushdoony, when he wrote these, he indicated that educational authority was separate from family government. And yet I am including it here because I believe that the Bible is clear that parents are to be educating their children. And so a separate school system or a separate means of educating is really should be a subset, if anything, of this. The families have the responsibility for educating their children. And so that's family government. Third is church government. And this is the ability to rule on issues. Now, unfortunately, this is absent in most churches today. You will be hard-pressed to find a situation in recent days where a church has made a ruling of ethical nature over a congregation. They've made a ruling or a judging based upon a certain circumstance and excommunicated the person or brought the person in. Now, I have had experience with that in a couple of cases. One of the first churches I went to when I was first a Christian had exercised some spiritual discipline over a member of the congregation, and they did so in a right way, and it actually resulted in a restorative situation. I had sad privilege in a lot of ways of sitting into a situation. Once I was an elder of the church in which I helped pastor or start, there was a family who was in need of some church discipline, and I exercised that, and that did not go quite as well. But this is something that is lacking in many churches today. It's used to give churches a measure of governance over the issues of the day. And Matthew chapter 18 talks about how this is to be done in the sense that there are supposed to be several witnesses that take place in this. There's supposed to be a personal confrontation. And then if they still don't heed it, they're supposed to be brought before several people. And if they still don't hear it, then it's brought before the church. And if they don't hear it at the church, then they're supposed to be considered as those who are outside the church. And the idea is that the church has a measure of government The church has a measure of authority over the people within it. Paul talks about this in the Corinthian correspondence. So that's church government. And then there's vocational government, or there's work government. And this would be an employer-employee relationship, certain rules that are specific to the place in which one works. So just for example, what would happen if you just casually walked into work sometime between 10 and 11 when you were supposed to be there at 8:30? Well, if you do that consistently, you're going to be fired, because there's certain rules, certain standards, certain procedures, certain protocol, certain aspects of your work that need to be done according to certain standards. This is a type of government that is placed over us, a type of authority that is placed over us. It's a vocational or work. Now, if you're self-employed, then it's all the more important that you exercise a measure of self-government so that you can avoid some of the pitfalls that would be associated with not having the kind of authority over you that would be in the regular workplace. And then number five is community or social government. This is like social pressures, rules of courtesy, manners, associations, friendships. All of these are ways that our society has developed of providing some type of governance, some type of structural authority over certain situations. And then finally is civil government. And, of course, this can take different forms. As I've mentioned, you've got democracy, you've got republic, communism, autocracy. Autocracy is, of course, rule by one. Oligarchy is a rule by few. Theocracy and fascism. And I'm going to save for another lecture what all of these mean and the different kinds that are listed there. And also, civil governments can be of different levels. So you've got federal government, you've got state government, and you've got local government, all of which fall under the umbrella of civil government. Well, what is the problem then today? What are we finding today? And I think that you would agree, if we look around, what is happening is that the civil government is taking on many more roles than it was designed to do. And it's taking on some of the roles of some of the other types of government that is around. For example, whether someone wants to decide to smoke marijuana or cigarettes, that should be an issue of self-government. The government should not have a say in that. There's no one really that they are hurting but themselves. And so by not exercising self-government over themselves does not justify the civil government to come in and to exercise some measure of authority over them. On a more benign issue, whether someone wants to acquire raw milk or pasteurized milk, that should be a completely self-governing issue. There should not be a government coming in to step in and say you can or cannot eat or can or cannot drink a certain type of food or substance. All of that should be a self-government issue. But instead, in both cases, what we have is a civil government telling us what we can and cannot do and what we can and cannot put into our bodies. And that is the distortion of God's design in government. And then if you look at family government, you have the civil government's usurping some of the authority of the family as well. Take, for example, welfare. Welfare is a means of reducing the role of the father in the home. It is a way of bypassing the responsibilities of government in the home by taking the father out of the home who's no longer able to provide. Social Security is also a means of doing this. In 1 Timothy, it talks about caring for the widows and the orphans. And particularly it talks about taking in the widows and making sure that they're widows indeed. And so the church would take care of them if the family could not take care of them. Nowhere did it talk about the state taking care of them. And yet that's exactly what we have with Social Security. And there's all kinds of other problems with it. But part of the reason why we're encountering all these challenges with Medicare and Social Security and all the other difficulties with these entitlement programs is that we have forsaken the law of God. We've forsaken the ways of God, and we have developed other ways and other means with the hopes that they would be superior. But when we bypass God's ordinances, His structures, His means of order and governance, then we are obviously going to run into problems, and that's exactly what we find today. You take, for example, the educational system. Of course, families, I believe, are responsible for educating their own children. And yet, what do we have? We have children being hauled off to a state-supported, state-run, state-accredited, state-licensed facility of education from 7:30 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And that is a transgression from the governance that God has established for families. You have governments coming in to say what children can and cannot eat. You have governments coming in to say what you can and cannot do for disciplining of your children. And, you know, all of these are ways in which the civil government is encroaching upon the civil liberties and the responsibilities and the family governments in that regard. And then also church government usurpations. I'm really working on trying to gather an interview with some people, or at least a person who has decided not to take the government's route towards marriage. If you're not familiar with it, pastors have to have a certain license approved by the state in order to marry somebody. And then that couple needs to acquire a marriage license from the county in which they reside, so that they can then be officially approved for marriage. And of course, these rules, these laws, first started back during the civil rights and segregation period, where there was animosity in the South because certain people were marrying that they did not approve. And so they petitioned the governments to create certain standards necessary for people to get married. Well, those standards, of course, still in place, and so we have to get certain requirements from the state in order to be married. But that is a totally contrary to the law of God. The jurisdiction for marrying is between families and between and in the context of the church. And so this is a way that the church has been undermined in its government. And we have members that are being sued for being excommunicated. As I talked about earlier, you've got this responsibility of churches to maintain a pure membership and to provide for some church discipline so that people are able to understand the intensity and the strength of a pure congregation. And of course, there is no pure congregation, but for the sake of developing a kind of strength through discipline, so to speak. And so you have all of these infringements upon church government. They're told how they can hire people and which people to hire. Of course, there's all kinds of debate now whether churches have to hire homosexuals in order to fill certain requirements, and they can't discriminate against them and all this kind of stuff. That's all government imposed by the civil government, when it is the role and the responsibility of the church to govern themselves. And another way in which this is an encroachment is the encouragement, oftentimes by well-meaning people who advise the churches, that churches should become 501c3 organizations. The reason they do this, of course, they say, is for liability's sake and to make sure that there's an organizational structure there and these kinds of things. But the reality of it is that is a way the church has relinquished some of its control and some of its freedom, some of its responsibility, and given it over to a state apparatus and a facility that will then intervene in the life of the church. And so church government is being usurped by civil government. And then also vocational or work government is being usurped. I mean, just today we learned about the strike that is taking place. For the last several days, there's been a strike taking place between the teachers' union in Illinois and the citizens there. And so the teachers are striking. There's a union is bargaining, trying to increase their wages and trying to increase their ability to avoid any kind of requirements for testing and for approval and, all these kinds of things that they're trying to get done. And this is a way of undermining certain authority. Now, of course, I don't even think the school system should be allowed and to receive any kind of public funds. It should be totally private if they even have one, but that's a different issue. But the reality of it is that as a result of requiring certain unions and requiring certain bargaining privileges and things like this, they are actually undermining the authority in the workplace and the role in the workplace. For example, a union worker can has to, he is enabled to negotiate with the employer his price and the contract wages or whatever it is that he is under. And the boss cannot, or the employer cannot, fire that person at will. And yet that person can leave at will. And so it seems like it's a one-sided contract in a situation like that. But even more than that, you have all the different kinds of rules and regulations on the workplace. You've got minimum wage laws. You've got OSHA laws. You've got non-discrimination clauses and laws. And you've got workman's compensation. You've got so many different kinds of influence by the federal governments, the civil governments, the state governments, all these different organizations and bureaucracies there. That are forcing companies to make decisions in a certain way that they would not make otherwise. And by doing that, what they are actually doing is they are infringing upon the workplace governance, the workplace jurisdiction and authority that should be there, and usurping it with civil authority. And then finally, community or social governments. In other words, the biggest area here is the requirements for certain tolerance among various organizations. There's an organization for everything out there, and we are taught that we must be tolerant of every organization's positions and views. And if we're not, then we can be held accountable for hate crimes and other kinds of things. And of course, this is contrary to the whole free society idea that we can have organizations, but we don't necessarily have to agree with those organizations, and we can, in fact, create an organization that would be in opposition to the original one. And so community or social governments have also had the influence of civil governments upon them. So what must we do? Well, one thing that we can do is we can opt out of the civil government encroachment. For example, we can opt out of government brainwashing by homeschooling our children. We can opt out of getting married under the licensing of the state and decide to get married under the confines of the church and under the requirements of God rather than of the church. And so the more that we can opt out of that is being controlled and monopolized by civil governments, the better. This is one of the reasons why I'm not continuing my Series 65 investment advisory license for next year. I've actually decided I'm going to do away with that and not keep up with the compliance and the requirements for it, because I am so much scrutinized and so much under the control and of the regulators. And in fact, even probably what I'm saying right now is under their scrutiny. And so the more that we can opt out of the licensing requirements and the various requirements of the civil governments, the better it is for us, because we maintain more freedom at lower levels by doing that. And then we can work to bring the church into its proper governance. We can be self-governed. We can work at trying to maintain the various degrees and levels of governments that I have mentioned today. And by doing that, we can hopefully restore some kind of proper balance to it. And so as the elections are coming up and as candidates are promising one thing after another from both parties, they're promising to do everything that you want plus everything that your neighbor wants and reducing the debt and reducing the deficit and all this kind of stuff. Of course, they're just lying. They can't do all that. But as they do that, consider whether they have that kind of authority to do that, and consider the kind of authority that God has ordained, what has come first, what has come next, and how that is infringing upon the proper structure and proper jurisdictions that he has set forth. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, made you maybe think of things a certain way, maybe differently than what you have. But in any case, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
And it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and lift our hands and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? We'll wither away, and to this world we'll have to say goodbye. But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? What will you do to change your legacy?